Mom, put down that coffee and grab a wine. Get ready for another episode of Nursing and Cursing, a parenting podcast that covers more shit than your baby's full diaper.
I'm Kate. I'm a stay-at-home mom of three in Brooklyn, New York. I'm trying to figure out whether I should go back to work, have another baby, or spend the rest of my life waiting for my fresh direct order.
Hey, I'm Christine, a video editor and a mom of two living in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Allie here, podcasting up in the mountains in South Kona, Hawaii. I work as a real estate agent and a mom of two boys.
Hey, I'm Molly. I'm a teacher raising two kids in St. Augustine, Florida.
And I'm Sarah, a new mom to one sweet babe living in Brooklyn, New York.
Between five busy households, it's a miracle we make it on the mic at all. But trust me, we need this as much as you do.
Welcome back to Nursing and Cursing, everybody, the parenting podcast that you've all been waiting for, because there's nothing else to do.
Coming in hot, Molly.
Coming in hot.
Guys, just like you out there, we are scraping for positive energy. So, ladies, let's lift it up. Let's lift it up for our listeners. Oh,
everybody stand up and do some jumping jacks.
No. Nope. Let Allie take us into the light.
Okay. So there is some good news. We as a group have discovered something called whipped coffee.
Good news is an understatement.
You know, I when you Google whipped coffee, it calls it Dalgona coffee.
Dalgona.
Dalgona.
Gracias, Dalgona.
There is a whole argument under the New York Times Instagram account posted a picture of it and called it Korean coffee, and half the 5 bajillion comments under there are people saying, excuse me, people in Greece have been drinking this for decades. It's not Korean, it's Greek. So just to add a dimension. Anyway, I discovered it on TikTok. I don't read the New York Times. I discovered it on my daughter's TikTok account.
That's where we get our real news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who told me about it first, Kate or Critty, but wow, Critty is, she has been upping her whipped game. She's not with us tonight, but she shoots videos and sends them to us. Allie also did a video and sent that to us.
Oh, Allie, let's post your video. It's really cute.
It's very uplifting.
No, I'm not wearing any clothes, and I'm whipping my coffee for you guys. I was on purpose in my bikini making a whipped coffee just for you guys.
That shit could go viral.
Oh, God.
So whipped coffee is pretty much this. 2 tablespoons of boiling water, 2 tablespoons of instant coffee, 2 tablespoons of sugar. You can adjust that if you need. Take a hand mixer, whip it real good until it is the consistency of whipped cream. Fluffy. Dollop that shit over a glass of iced milk.
Oh my God. When you say dollop, stir. I want to go make one right now. The word dollop is making me need one.
Dollop.
The clank, 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 clank of the ice against the cup as that's just mixing.
Oh my God. It's so good.
Oh my God. Not only does it taste so delicious and you're like, holy shit, I'm having a coffee milkshake experience, but the effect is better than any drug you've ever taken.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, Allie. I've been pairing mine with, don't forget I'm pregnant, I've been pairing mine with a peanut butter banana roll and 2 Tylenol for breakfast, and exactly the same peanut butter banana roll and 2 Tylenol at 4 p.m. God. And I am like, the shit that I'm able to accomplish. First of all, I have not accomplished anything. They're not real things, but it's like if you give somebody who's never done drugs cocaine, that's the kind of shit I'm accomplishing.
Absolutely. This will take any woman or man who's so fucking down from quarantine and lift you right back up higher than you were before. This is like at your height of where you ever were pre-quarantine.
Fuck this. Oh, it's 12 p.m. and I'm going to make a whip. Come on, babe. Get on over here. How many pages out of that math book do we have to do? We got this.
We got
got this together. I want to make a drawing
We're a team.
Of a zombie. Let's do it. You're like, yes, freaking high. No
or
problem.
You're like nothing me at 9 p.m. changing your moldy shower curtain linings at 9 p.m. last night, wondering where I'm getting this tremendous energy and then remembering back 2 hours to my whip to my title.
Right.
Right.
And
right.
Then also Kate and I complaining on the thread that we don't know why, but for some reason at 4 a.m. we're wide awake thinking of all kinds of things. It must be anxiety. It must be the anxiety of quarantine. No, it's the fucking no-dos that we're whipping into our coffee.
Allie, when you texted, like, when I was like, I'm having insomnia, like, I've never experienced in my life. And you were like, it's the fucking four whips a day you're having. I was like, nope.
No, that's not it.
Yes. Yeah, so Sarah, pretty much.
I'm telling you, it isn't. What are you talking about?
No, I was just, I know, I was kidding. I was kidding.
Oh. Okay.
But it's taken over our text thread. We really don't talk about anything else anymore because what the fuck is the point?
There's no point.
This is the light.
Pretty texted
that we needed.
Pretty texted us today and was like, alert. I just saw online that somebody put two tablespoons of cocoa and made it a whipped mocha.
Alert. It was 6 a.m. There was nobody awake in my house. And I'm like whipping it against the glass bowl at 6 a.m. making the mocha.
Oh my God, the alert.
Alert.
And you guys, I tried it over hot milk. I did a hot whipped mocha this morning. And it was everything.
Wait, over hot? Wait, you heated
hot milk.
Your milk?
Yes, Sarah. I made a hot whipped.
Sarah, in that beautiful ceramic mug. Scroll back.
That was a beautiful mug. I didn't think at the time it's hot milk.
Yeah.
Well, because it's 6 a.m. morning outside. Yeah.
Right. It's
I
so
wanted
cold.
A hot mocha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hot mocha. Yeah, and it was everything.
So
hot mocha you've had.
So, ladies and gentlemen, try it. Let us know how it goes. Now, we are at the point in quarantine. Let's see. I'm personally at 7 weeks. I'm on my 7th week. Just so listeners who look back and listen to this can kind of look at where we are on the timeline.
Okay. Translation, you're about to have your second quarantine period.
Yes. I am.
Me too.
About 3 days out. So, shit's not good in my house. Not good.
Same.
But let's take the temperature of where all the parents homeschooling, whatever the fuck. I hate that term because
distance learning,
homeschooling is different. That's for people who chose that and that works for them. Distance learning doesn't work for anybody.
Okay, are we done? I feel like let's go make a whip to hang up.
This week, and we are recording this a couple days before this episode drops, but this week I'm starting to see articles coming out like
calling it quits, guys.
Yeah, like school systems are saying, okay, and we're done. This is stupid. Parents are having a hard time. Kids are having a hard time. Teachers are having a hard time. We're just going to shut it down, use the rest of the school year to plan for next year. And I'm just like, okay, yes, I support that. That's not my school system. That's not us.
Okay, Molly. So you
I saw that coming from Georgia. I saw that coming from Nebraska. I saw that. Actually, Southern New Hampshire, one of the superintendents was basically like, fuck this.
I wish that was the title of the article. Fuck this.
Okay, Molly, you said parents are having a hard time. Teachers are having a hard time. Kids are having a hard time. You are all three. So where are you at?
Yes, well, as a teacher, I can feel the heaviest lull in my community, in my class. The parents are just starting to get silent. Like we have a Google classroom where I'm like, okay, guys, you're going to post this project or that project and we'll cheer you on. Like I'm the kind of teacher who's like, you're not going to get a nick on your record if you don't turn it in. But if you do want to post it, let's just be positive, right? Lift them up.
Yeah.
But it's just crickets. And it's like, is anybody out there? I'm doing these read alouds and these musical numbers to like, just, I don't know who.
Well, your content is so
alive.
It's so alive. And it brought me alive? To true wow. tears today. No, it really okay. brought me as a parent and somebody who misses my own kids' teachers, it puts such a lump in my throat. The content that you're making for your kids is so real. It's amazing.
Well, thank you so much. But, you know, like, I've stepped away from all, like, I'm doing curriculum, but barely. That's not where I put any of my energy at right. all. I'll be like, here's a couple worksheets. Okay, let's talk about kindness. I don't even know. But, so that's where I'm feeling my class is. As a teacher, yeah, I am so burned out, you guys. I have like a designated time of day where I get to do some work with the door closed, thanks to Tim. And I don't want him to hear this, but like I'm spending like out of 3 hours, I'm spending like 2 hours and 30 minutes staring off into space, looking at Instagram, like, trying to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
And then right. just clinking the ice against yeah. your glass and sucking down that whips.
I found myself doing that too, Molly. I was like looking at TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so when the music's playing and I was like, shit, Tim's going to hear this. So I closed the app.
Right.
But not because I needed to get work done, because I didn't want Tim to catch me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because I'm so burned out, I can't focus. Yeah. Because I came into this career so I could connect with kids and so I could see their learning. And this is just like, oh my God. And then of course the rumors of, is it going to go down next year like this? And then I'm just like, holy shit. What am I going to do? So that's where I am as a teacher. And I still feel really sad, but I miss my students.
You have a kindergartner, Molly. Also, you have a kindergartner who is expected to fully be doing his online learning, you know, from the school. How's he doing?
He's not doing too good. I'm sure I've mentioned this, but he's like a really attentive student in school. And if I even say the word school at home, he goes into like he's having a seizure screaming, I hate it. I hate it. And he won't let you get a word in. Yesterday I tried to keep my calm while he was having his fit. And through his fit, he's just like, this is so stupid. This is dumb. Using words that we have rules in our house that we don't use. He's breaking rules. He's being a jerk about it. And I just got so frustrated. I ended up taking his entire stack of work and throwing it across the room.
Okay, healthy.
And then
I
was like, okay, go to your room. You're going to be in your room for the entire morning and here's your schoolwork. And I just threw it, not at him, but across the room. Mm. And I was like, you're disrespecting Mrs. So-and-so and you're disrespecting me. And I threw it. And then I immediately was like, wow, what if there was a camera on me that was like broadcasting on my Google Classroom? What if my classroom parents could see me? Like, this is fucked up.
Right. It's You're fucked. Expecting things and that, but you know, I know.
It's so real, Molly. I had a
conversation in the grocery store just with locals here, not that we should be talking, but through mask to mask. Paying for the groceries. Oh, how's it? What are you working on? What are you doing to stay busy? Oh, you know, just doing the distance learning thing. And just the face is like, oh, I tried that for like 1 week. I cannot do that. It's way too hard. And I've seen that response a lot. And I'm like,
so much on the kid's age. Right.
It's great to hear that people are saying, yeah, no, I can't do it. I give advice to my own parents all the time. Like, just do what you can, just do what you can. And I was pretty good at taking that advice. But once our county took away the possibility of coming back into the classroom, teachers started to feel pressure that, okay, now I'm going to need to like get my grades going and everything's going to happen. So they started pushing it harder. Like, okay, now I need you to send in all your assignments. I need proof that you're doing it all. It's like, oh, right. Right.
So you're saying, right, the pressure starts at the top and it's trickling all the way down to a five-year-old. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, and the five-year-old is going to, what, get punished if the family is having a rough time? I mean, and I have a partner here. We still have our jobs. Like, what about single parents who are without work and trying to make dinner, get dinner on the table? Like, distance learning is not a priority.
It's now time for a quick sponsor break. You guys, I need to tell you about this great company called Cosmetology. It was created by a mom who was frustrated when her younger daughter was diagnosed with eczema at 3 months old, and she just noticed a lack of good product on the market and created this stuff. You guys are going to love Cosmetology. First of all, my favorite is the lotion bar. A lotion bar is a solid moisturizer that contains effective organic moisturizing ingredients like shea butter and olive oil. And it doesn't contain water, which eliminates the need for alcohol and potentially hazardous preservatives and chemicals. These lotion bars are good for us. And the bottom line for me is it's good for my kid. We get out of the pool or we come out of the ocean. They've got dry skin from using sunscreens, and they can actually apply this stuff themselves, which is what I love. It smells great, and I know that it's not harming them. It is made for humans, not just kids or just adults. We share this as a family. And let's talk about their hand soaps. I mean, why wouldn't you want to wash your hands or the hands of your kids with something that is naturally infused with the highest quality organic oils such as coconut, olive, and safflower? I mean, the scents are incredible. They come in 5 essential oil-infused scents, and it's good for the entire family. Those are also available in 3 sizes and travel sizes included, so you guys are going to love it. Especially these days, we've got our soap up on every single sink in the house and we're going through it like crazy, but I'm so glad that we have something that's safe for the family, which is great. So I want you guys to check it out. To get 15% off your first order, go to cosmetology.com and use the code NAIL at checkout. That's cosmetology with a K, cosmetology.com, and use the code NAIL at checkout. This is a product you guys can really stand behind and feel good about, whether it's for your body or for your kids. I can't recommend it enough.
It doesn't work for our country. It's not an equal opportunity. Like, this is not equal opportunity. It's not working.
Yeah,
like it's not public education, and they're not getting the same experience, and a lot of people don't have computers and internet.
Right. That was in the articles I read.
What about, people who don't have, what about people who don't have enough computers for the amount of children that they have?
That is like everybody I know.
Right. They're like, if you have 4 children, that makes a lot of sense. Like, who has 4 computers?
No. It's also so hard because a huge part of going, I think, it really depends on, I mean, this is all stuff we've talked about on the text thread, and I'm having a different experience, but it really depends on the age kid that you're talking about. And like, yes, especially for elementary school, I think so much of the reason that you send your kids to school at that age is A, so that you as a parent can be in the workforce or being productive. Society has made school for you. And B, so that your kid can be socialized, spend time with other kids, learn rules, learn what we expect of each other. And, you know, distance learning like this doesn't satisfy either of those, doesn't meet either of those needs for families. Like, it doesn't take your kid off your hands for you, and it doesn't give them that social connection. It's so isolating. Right. And also, like, the other thing we talked about is, like, it's so twisted for me because I feel like I spend so much of my time, or did before this, kind of like on a sort of like guilt spiral about screen time for my kids, especially the younger kids. and always beating myself up for putting them in front of a screen or trying to limit the screen time or ration it. And it's like, now things have, I don't know, the distance learning is so screen reliant that it felt so weird to be like
forcing them to get
like you, like you will not get up from the computer.
Yes.
Until I hear you say good morning to your teacher respectfully. Mm-hmm. And like, it, I mean, we ended up leaving New York and we actually are staying in a house that doesn't have Wi-Fi, which is so funny. People can't believe it, but it doesn't have Wi-Fi. And that has not really been a bad experience for us as a family. I mean, it really hasn't. The kids use my phone for everything. So it's not like we're not connected, but they cannot sit at a computer and do distance learning. That can't happen. And so for the younger two, fourth grade and first grade, I just emailed their teachers right off like the first week that distance learning started and said like, hey, we're going to be in a house with no Wi-Fi, so we're not going to be able to participate in basically anything that's going on online. And that was it.
Bye.
Bye. And I have to say, like, the only part that I felt bad about was that their teachers are so amazing and they're jumping through these insane hoops to get this content online, and they have their own families and their own things to be doing. Mm-hmm. And the only part about dropping out of distance learning that I felt bad about was the effort that people were putting into for my kid that I wasn't able to engage in. Like, you know, we,
right. And,
like, no audience for all their hard work.
And but, I also think, Kate, like, you are so lucky, and Molly, we all are. Your children are brilliant, and you know they're going to be absolutely fine next year. I feel for those parents who also send their kids to school knowing that every day they're getting extra help and they're getting where they need to be. And the right. pressure just must be huge for parents who are like, I don't feel comfortable just saying fuck it. And how far behind are we going to be if we just say fuck it?
Right.
You know,
right.
There's different pressures for everybody.
Those kids are on my mind every single day. Of course, I have a little handful of them. And to the parents who are like, yes, yes, that's me, I will just say 3, 2, 5, 6 weeks is not going to save the learning for that kid. And it's not all lost, but it's like some magic thing is not going to happen in those small amount of weeks anyway. And yes, it feels like a huge loss because they were behind to begin with, but every teacher in the game is understanding and prepared that their job in the fall is to catch up. So everybody's right. in it together.
It's an amazing point to say that nothing is really going to be gained in those 6 weeks, but there could be a ton of harm done in those 6 weeks, right?
There could be.
Like if you're shoving fractions down your son's throat
you mean
every
from,
day.
Allie, you mean from the pressure. You mean
from
like
the pressure.
Right.
The pressure. Yeah. So for parents who are just crumbling under the pressure and trying to get it done, there could be so much damage in that, more damage than just saying fuck it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that we had to stop. I mean, it's funny, like the two girls had different problems. I'm not even going to say problems, because how can a kid have a problem with something as stupid as distance learning that starts a week after regular school with no warning? But they both felt different frustrations with it. And my fourth grader's frustration was that she wanted to be doing all the work and she wanted to be doing it perfectly. And she needed the feedback that she was doing what everybody else was doing and that she was doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times I told her, like, dude, it doesn't matter. I didn't say it like that, of course, but that I tried to just encourage her to just find some peace in the process and not worry about the feedback. It was the pressure that she was putting on herself was so insane. I mean, just a few days that we did it, she was like slumped over the computer crying. Like, I clicked submit, but now I don't see it. I don't see that it showed up that I did it. Can you please text my teacher and tell her that it's there? And my first grader sat down for a Zoom, first Zoom, and was just so appalled. Like, she really was. I mean, she was like embarrassed to see herself on screen, and embarrassed to see her teacher, and embarrassed to see her friends on screen, embarrassed to talk with other people at the, like with her family at the table, being able to overhear her, didn't want to do that at all. And definitely didn't want to engage in any type of work that she would be submitting over the computer. Like, that was not even going to be a possibility. So when
Youngers, I don't know how they're doing. Leo just hates it. He's like, yeah, this, I'm just not doing this. Right, on a Zoom call, he hates it. He's like, this is so boring, and this is so stupid.
Right. When Jeremy and I were like, okay, the seventh grader, he can do it on his own. And actually, like, seventh grade in his middle school, it's so much technology-based learning, for better or worse. And there's been times in my life that I've thought that sucked, but actually it's prepped him fine for what's going on right now, because he's able to get on a hotspot through my husband's phone and do what he needs to do in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But for the girls, like, when Jeremy and I decided, like, okay, for our family, in this time of craziness, we're going to prioritize, like, our mental health, like, and the kids' mental health. We're just going to peace out.
I so feel like that was such a brave move. And when I'm, like, throwing paperwork across the room, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was supposed to be my plan, too. And, you know, reaching out to friends and being like, eh, I had a really bad morning, and telling them what happened, and getting the same advice, like, it's not worth a war in your home.
But Molly, right? You need your kid to be doing something because you're working. I'm not working. I have such a luxury.
But he can do lots of things, Kate, without having to cry about them. You know what I mean? And it is what it is.
So your kid's getting, so Molly, sorry, I know you're cutting me off, but I want to finish this convo real quick. Is your school area, like your school and the public schools, are they doing grades? Because New York City just decided on something today about grades.
What is it?
We just got a letter from the DOE this afternoon that said, thanks for taking the ride. Everybody's been doing their best. Some kids don't have computers, blah, blah, blah. Just heads up, we're not going to be grading. None of this work is going to count for a grade. Basically, your teacher is going to get to decide whether to advance you onto the next grade based on everything that happened before March. And if they want to use it after March, they're welcome to do that. But essentially, like, everybody's trying their hardest, but nobody will be penalized at this point whatsoever. Everybody will go to the next grade, which I took as a green light to keep saying fuck it.
Green light, you're done.
Done. So
are we flashing yellow?
We go to a charter school, and I feel for them just because, you know, a lot of their funding and keeping the charter alive is based on improvement, and it's based on performance and what's happening. So I think, like, they're all trying to get us to do iReady and stuff like that so that they can just get a read on where our kids are, and they might even be submitting that information. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll just have to talk about that. Nailing it
failing it. It's a big shit show. Everybody's a stranger in a strange land. Everybody's just, like, going through the motions that they think they're supposed to, but...
And how freaking amazing that schools and teachers rolled it out in 1 week. The most massive experiment ever done was rolled out in a week.
Yes. Well, in a week where you are, a weekend in California, in many places, 1 weekend.
I mean,
no, it's amazing.
Have you guys thought about the impact? Like, you know how you send your kids to school and their teacher's always saying, oh my God, they're so wonderful at school, always so, you know, obedient, or not, they don't say obedient, but like, you know, looks out for other kids. Mm-hmm. Right. I never have to hit them. Think about how, like, that's such a nice respite for your kid to go.
Oh, yeah.
And to get a break from their bitchy ass mom.
But, but they're not 100%. Getting that break anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's very apparent in my house, Sarah. It's We're going through a little bit of a dark period right now that hopefully will be not too long, but it's bad. It's so negative. I think he's so tired of hearing us bitch at him, and I don't know. We try.
They miss school so much. For so many reasons, Sarah. Like, yeah, right. And that's such a good point. Like, they miss their friends. They miss, like, the compliments and the positive reinforcement from their teachers. Like, yeah, it's weird. And yeah. From a kid's perspective, like, if you think it feels sudden to an adult, I mean, kids just, like, dropped off a sheer cliff in March.
Yeah,
like,
and they never got to come back.
No closure. And
it's so sad.
Edie's back still at school.
I have the opposite problem, which is way, way, way worse than any of that, which is that my kids don't miss it one fucking bit. Not one bit.
Neither
they
does Mavis.
They never want to go back. They will kick and scream. They never want to step foot in the fucking school again. They
of course
never
not.
Wanted to, and they still don't want to.
Because mom's nailing the whips, rolling Little House on the Prairie, and keeping the party going. I wouldn't want to go to school either.
Do you guys have a nail fail?
Only a fail that Mavis told me she knows where babies come from, and it's where. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Let me know. Where's that then? And she said, oh, it's when dad takes his pants off and does something with peanut butter.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Okay, it's so weird. Why am I getting it so wrong? I feel like I speak to my kids so plainly, but
something peanut butter. I will roll after that one. Oh, I do have a really good nail. Okay. So Pete and Phoenix have been playing a game where they make bets with each other. You know, I've told you guys about that wooden toy with the ball and the string at the end called a kendama. So they've gotten back into that, and there's all these moves and tricks you can do with it. So they play each other, and they have to try to land the move. So they've been betting each other with it. Okay, if I win, so these are the bets. Pete's been like, okay, if I win, you have to vacuum all the corners in my bedroom. And Phoenix is like, okay, if I win, you have to fold all the laundry. Guys, I have nothing to do with this. These aren't even their normal chores. They're just coming out with
amazing.
The bets.
Amazing.
So either way, it's a win-win for me. The other night, he was like, damn it. And he just walks right over to the dryer and starts folding all of the laundry without saying anything. Because, you know, he's a poker player. He will never not pay his debts. And then Phoenix just yesterday, vacuuming all the corners in my room. I mean, all kinds of stuff, you guys. It's chores.
That's awesome.
And it's so good. I'm like, keep up this game, you guys. Please keep it up.
That's perfect.
And then to spin off of that, the fail is the vacuum is running. And then I just hear all of them screaming and Leo going, mom, come look. And of course he's got it's a shop vac and he's got the tube of the vac right on his dong. And he's laughing so hard. And I'm like, do you think you're the first man to ever stick his dick in a vacuum? And Phoenix kept going, what do you mean, mom?
That is so perfect.
Oh god, did you use the word dick?
I don't think so.
I don't have one, Sarah, do you?
Yeah, let's see. I guess my nail, I mean it's not a nail, it's just something cute Frances started doing. And I made her a mask that she could wear outside, which she refuses to wear. But now she started wearing it around her chest. And she, at first she was like, look, it's a bra. Just like you, I'm a mommy. And she's like she's talking about it, like holding back her nursing. She's like, look, I have nursing just like you. And she's pointing at her nipples.
Too cute.
But now she started calling it a bro. So she's like, I have to put my bro on. And it's just like, you know, sometimes sometimes it's all you need for them to do to like make up for the little shitty things they do throughout the day.
I haven't worn a bro in weeks.
Me neither. It feels so good to keep the bro off.
Oh my God. I have to wear a bro every day. I got sensitive nips.
Same. Me too, Sarah. I'm more comfortable. I even sleep in a bra.
Yeah, I actually have to wear a bra too. I was just kind of fucking around.
Guys, I hear the theme music for Little House.
That's your call. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Okay, I better get going. I love you all.
Are you serious? You, babe.
She's like, I am serious. I'm serious. Okay, the show's over and I got to.
Are you a piano? Oh.
Zoom piano, yeah.
Okay, oh, good luck. Bye, Allie.
I love you guys.
Love you, Allie.
Love you. Allie. What's your fail, Sarah? Do you have a fail?
Okay, so yeah. My fail is the other day I was leaving. So I came to North Carolina. I was leaving the house that we're renting here for a run, and I heard all this rustling in the park right across the street. Rustling in the trees. And I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. Cause like any bit of nature activity is just so exciting for me. I loved getting to see like little squirrels fight or whatever, but I looked further and it was one of the chickens from the backyard.
Oh my God, Sarah.
I was like, oh no, fuck.
These fucking chickens.
I was like, Hermione, what the fuck are you doing
I'm
out
sorry.
Here?
Where is Allie? The chicken's name is Hermione.
The chicken's name is Hermione.
I'm so fucking mad for you.
And I was like, you little brat, come with me. And she starts following me, which I was so surprised. I got her to the backyard and I was like, oh no, where's the other one? Mm-hmm. And I looked everywhere in the backyard. The other one, whose name is Sunshine, she's much older. And she was nowhere to be found. Nowhere. So I start panicking. My heart is pounding in my chest. And that's when I texted you guys. Holy fuck, I lost the chickens. And with no follow up. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm dying to know.
Yeah, so, you texted us like there's the chickens escaped. I can't find them. I'm going for a run. I have to exercise. We never came back to it.
Well, I went back to where Hermione had been. And then I just saw a little Sunshine just like taking a seat underneath a tree in the shade. She was just chilling. But I couldn't get her to move. And I'm still a little scared of the chickens. Like, if I don't want to get too close to them, because one of them has started pecking at my feet and like lunging at me.
Oh my God. So is she like across the street or something?
She's across. They were both, across the street. It's a dead end road though. And like across the street is a huge park. So they could get lost very easily in this gigantic park. There's ponds.
You wish.
There's other people.
No way.
And
you wish.
But I couldn't get them to come back to the house.
I'm so mad that these chickens are your problem. I'm so mad.
Okay. What did you do?
I was so stressed. But I looked back through my texts because the lady who I'm renting from told me, and I reread her text, she said the chickens basically roam free. Like they may roam around, but they'll always come back to the coop. Like the saying is true. Chickens always return to the coop. So I just I don't know where this came from, but I was like, okay, fuck it. And I turned on my music and went for my run.
Good girl.
Good for you.
I'm not going to worry about this. Then 5 minutes into my run, I get a frantic text from Tim. Somebody had knocked on the front door. And they were like, are these your chickens? These chickens are out in the park. And Tim was like, I don't know. I don't know. Just close
Tim,
the door.
Why was Tim playing dumb? He must have known they were the chickens that came with the house.
He just didn't know what to say. Like, he's not into the chickens at all. And like, what is he going to do?
I don't know, but I'd be so mad at Jeremy if he dodged the chicken thing while I was out and left me.
And he texts me.
Excuse me,
he's
what the fuck?
Where are you? The chickens are in the park.
Oh God! And I throw my phone away. I'm feeling something right now. That's
I just
my
wrote
rage.
Back. I was just like, it's fine. They can do whatever they want, and I just kept on running. And looking back, I'm so like, so many things could have gone wrong.
I just kept on running.
They really could have gotten like run over by a car or something, or lost or whatever.
No, Tara, they live there.
It turns out, so the lady I'm renting from texted me later in the day. She was like, let's keep the chickens in the coop for a few days. It turns out they were in the park earlier. They've never done that before.
Oh, dang. Nailing it and failing it. Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you went for a fucking run.
I am too.
You know, like, I gotta take care of myself, and it's not my job to take care of chickens. That's not what I signed up for.
Put your fucking foot down. No, it is not.
No, but you actually specifically chose this Airbnb because of the chickens.
I did. But you know what? And I do take good care of them.
Yeah, like, but that's too much.
That was too
much. All right, everybody. Well, all listen. Right. Listen, everyone. Good luck with another week in quarantine, because it's going to be a good one. You know why? Because you've just learned about the whipped coffee. Go get yourself a whipped. Make it a mocha if need be. Keep it iced. Keep it cool.
Put your ice in your cup. You know what I want to say? My tip for anybody who's a little bit sensitive to caffeine. Put the ice in your cup, then the whipped coffee, then put the milk on top of that and stir it together. If you put the whipped on top, you're getting a very intense amount of caffeine right in your first sip or three.
Which is why I recommend the original way.
Same, which is, and if you want to change your shower curtains at 9 p.m., I advise sticking with the recipe.
Ba-dum-psh. All right, you guys, have a great week. We will see you next week. Bye, ladies.
I love you.
Okay, that's it for now. We'll see you next week for another Nursing and Cursing, where sleep is more valuable than fast, hard cash.